Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Thursday night at the Speakeasy Cafe. We would like to invite you to take the stage for the Sound of Ink Open Mic Poetry Night. Now, let's get started. I want your ink in our ears.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Speakeasy Cafe Open Mic Poetry Show. We are in week 3 of National Poetry Month, and so we look forward to hearing some of the things that you've been doing to celebrate. Before we get started, I want to welcome Michael to the show. Hello, Q.
Hello, Nye.
How did you say Nye?
Yeah.
That was cute. Oh, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. Have you had a crazy week?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Me too.
We're all getting crazy now.
So, do you have any announcements? Anything that you maybe might have wanted to find to read in the next or in the last 3 minutes since I asked you?
Well, in those 3 minutes, I did become somewhat willing to read, but I have not found anything yet. Does that work?
No. You are going to read, though, right?
Yes, I will read.
Okay.
All right. I'll like give my links and stuff when I do.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Are you going to read now?
No.
Oh. You'll tell me when you're ready?
Yes.
Okay. I
promise.
Okay. Just making sure.
All right.
But no announcements.
No. If you like soccer, go to Mass United FC on Facebook and give us a like and all that jazz. I work for them. They're good people.
Okay. That works. Hmm. So, everybody, I want to welcome you once again. Now that we're done our jabbering, welcome you once again to the show. This is an open mic poetry show, and you're welcome to call in, share, read your work with us. If you haven't been to the show before, we welcome you. We always get started with an audio track, so if you are, this is your cue to find one, Michael. Okay, so if you're a recording artist and you'd like to have your tracks played on the show, you can send those to us at thespeakeasycafe@gmail.com. thespeakeasycafe@gmail.com. The word that is in there. All right, and make sure you put MP3 or audio file or poetry track or something along those lines. Your writers, be creative, in the subject line so that I know what it is. I would appreciate that very much. And then we can upload them to the show. We can either start or end the show with it and share your work, share your links, have people come over and visit you. So, Mr. Michael.
Yes. All right.
What did you pick out?
I have picked out a track from Emily Kagan Trenchard. I know I play her tracks every once in a while. I know you like them. This one, I don't think I've played this one in quite a while, so I'm actually looking forward to hearing this one again. But she and her husband, who's Jeff Trenchard, who is also a poet, performance poet, activist, teacher type, they share a website. It is KaganTrenchard.com or .net. Maybe .net, but you should definitely check them out. They're very talented people, and they make beautiful babies. And this is called Finch.
Finch. At first, just the head peeked out. Nobody except me got to eat the quiet moment of terror that took hold of Cousin Jody's eyes. Because as the black snake spooled like smoke out of Jody's mouth and glided onto the dinner table, bedlam broke out. Grandma screamed, then everyone started screaming, chairs pushed back, plates toppled, and my half-brothers tried to chase the snake out the house. But when Cousin Jody opened his mouth to scream, another snake poked out his gentle head and slithered down his shirt. He got out a few curse words before the next snake wiggled into his mouth. This one got most of the way out Jody's throat before someone took a knife to it. Jody had to still pull the rest of the squirming body out by hand. And when he gasped to catch his breath, another snake was burst on his tongue. Jody got desperate and tried to swallow the thing, but he started choking and finally coughed so hard he shot the snake clear out his mouth and crossed the dinner table. By the time Grandma had kicked Cousin Jody out the house, there were 15 headless snakes draped like hangman's rope around the kitchen table. Everyone was crying and casting off the devil, but I just snuck back to my cot, where Cousin Jody used to come and find me each night and lift up my dress for sin. I found a snake curled on my pillow, so I laid down and kissed his nose. That was the last we ever saw of Cousin Jody. That was the first time I ever did it on purpose. Call me Finch. They all do, or used to, before Jesus got his hands on me. At first, it only happened on accident. Like the beagle I love so much, he burst into flame, and the broken dishes that would stitch themselves back together while Grandma whooped my behind. But then I started to concentrate on it. Almost like prayer. After Jody and the snakes, I tried to do good things so folks wouldn't get suspicious. I straightened all the kinks out of Auntie's hair for her and put 6 pieces of silver in my half-brother's pockets each night. And I tried to make Grandma young again like she was always wishing she was, except I didn't know how to make it stop. It wasn't until Auntie had to start feeding and changing the infant Grandma that I managed to set things back the right way. I'm still learning how it works. The neighbors were beginning to talk, saying I was a cursed child on account of who my mother was. So when Grandma got back to her old self, she started parading me around church to prove I could walk in the Lord's house without smelling like brimstone. The pastor was hard up for something to believe in. He begged me for a full year before I showed him. Turn water into wine I did. I thought he'd appreciate that trick. I should have known better. When that purple juice spilled out the pastor's wash basin, everybody started hailing Jesus. They shook my bones so hard, my name fell off. Refusing to let go of their salvation, Grandma and the pastor carried me between them into town to buy me a white dress and new shoes. Had a photograph made like I was walking through the gates of heaven. I had never made anyone so happy before. Grandma and the pastor started asking me to do things for folks like mend broken bones and make blue babies turn pink again. And people came from all over Missouri just to have me lay hands on them. Not that I didn't want to be helping folks, but let me be clear. You can only take so much of the crying, only feel the praise lick your obligatory cheek so often before you can't stand the creatures anymore. It took every ounce of Christian I had in me not to tell them that their Jesus didn't care. Their Jesus didn't bend his back to the work. Their Jesus was not my time, my focus, my accident of a body. They never praised the girl called holy, just the parlor tricks. When I started my womanly ways, the blood stained the lining of my white dress, and they called it Christ's blood, hailed him and not the woman I was becoming. Grandma gave me rags to put between my legs each night, and in the morning she'd collect them and give them out to the faithful. Eventually, the blood took to clotting itself each night into tiny animals. Elephants, swans, bears and horses, snakes and spiders, rabbits and fish, each no bigger than my fingernail. My little menagerie danced on my belly and slept in a velvet box. They loved me like God. They called me Finch.
Holy moly. All right, Michael, you want to tell us how to find her again? Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah,
that's the first time I've heard that one.
Huh?
That's the first time I've heard that one.
Well, it might be. But it was kind of a long track to play when we interviewed her a few years ago. So
that was incredible.
Okay. The website, as I said, she shares with her husband is KaganTrenton.net or .com. I'm sorry. I'm at my computer right in a second. I'll have to look it up and let you know to make sure. But, yeah, that's the website. She shares it with her husband, who's a writer, performance poet, teacher, activist, very talented people. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, so are we ready to get started?
I believe we are, but you're going to have to unmute the first person.
All right, you guys. If you are on hold tonight, I'll tell you what to expect in just a moment, but just so that you know, there are site issues. If you're trying to get into the chat room, just keep poking it with the stick. It'll let you in eventually. And same thing for the phone lines. I guess people are getting a fast busy when they're trying to call in. So if you are trying to get in, just keep dialing in, okay? And I'll let you in eventually. All righty. So if you're on hold, oh, yeah, the number, 646-595-3965. That's 646-595-3965. So if you're on hold, listen for your telephone area code. That's how you'll know it's your turn to come on, such as 732 is our first caller tonight. So when you hear your telephone area code and we bring you on, please make sure you tell us who you are. Be courteous to the people waiting in line behind you. All righty. No, wait a minute. I got ahead of myself. It's going to be one of those nights, Michael, where I'm talking inside out and backwards.
So normal.
Okay, so anyway, tell us who you are so your name's attached to work. Please keep your reads to about 4 minutes long. Be courteous to the people waiting in line behind you. And when you are done, have your URL ready so that people can come over, show you some love, get to know you better, get to read your work, all that good stuff, do networking. And one last thing, do remember that this show is a mature rated show, so that means that absolutely anything goes with the exception of roadmap, graphic, x-ray vision, hardcore, pornica. Cannot do that. That's kind of like pornerotica. Pornica. That's an awesome name, huh?
Yeah, works.
Pornica. It even sounds naughty. No pornica people. Okay. All right, other than that,
yeah,
we're good to
well,
go.
Anything with porn clearly in it, right, it sounds naughty at this point.
This is true. All right, so do you want to bring on our first caller?
Sure, because I am back at the computer now. You waited me out. All right, so first up, 732, you are on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Fine. Who is this?
My name is Morgan. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this.
I didn't think I recognized your voice. Welcome to the show, Morgan.
Yeah, I actually know Dennis.
Oh, very
okay.
Cool.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
Take a deep breath. We're going to ask you a couple questions first, if that's okay.
Sure.
Everybody in the chat room thinks I'm going to be initiating you. No, I won't do that.
I don't know what that entails. It sounds kind of scary.
Yeah. we'll forego the traditional first caller initiation questions, but as long as you're here and it's National Poetry Month and everything like that and you're a brand new member of the family, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, how you started writing, why you write, and why you picked out the piece you're going to share with us tonight.
Okay. Well, hi, everyone. I am Morgan, and I live on the Jersey Shore. Actually, if you guys are familiar with Seaside Heights, I live two towns away from that. But ever since Sandy, I lived like a block away from the ocean, and Sandy happened to have come through and destroyed my home. So ever since then, I now stay in Toms River. I've been writing since I was 9, and I write because it's the only way I feel that I can therapeutically express myself.
Isn't it a strange thing, the way it's such a compulsion, you know? I mean, it would be easy just to open up our mouth and say what we want to say, you know, but the need to write it on paper and then but not just write it on paper. Write it on paper in the way that it becomes alive, you know. And we dress up our words, and we make them dance, and perform, and explain, and cry, and weep, and feel. It's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it?
It's certainly an art. A lot of people tell me that they wish that they can, you know, create such visual imagery, not visualizations. I guess it's the same thing, but with their mm-hmm. words. I was never really good at anything else, never liked sports or anything like that. So writing was the only thing that I felt was an actual talent. So, yeah.
It's very cool. I'm looking forward to hearing what you brought. Now, the poem that you're going to read tonight, tell us a little bit about it and why you picked it.
I'm going to read a poem that's Sandy-related, actually. I wrote it. I stopped writing for a while. I went through a traumatic experience that made me not want to feel at all, because I don't know about any of you guys, but whenever I write, I put myself in a very vulnerable position, and I feel everything so intensely. So I just actually started picking up writing after Sandy, so November of last year, and that's what my poem's going to be about.
Very cool. Well, start when you're ready.
All right. A lapse in time. The sound of rippling water. Warm sun caressing ivory bones. Sand around her toes. A setting I can call my own. To the back of consciousness I go. This shoreline called my mind. I roam, look up, and smile, because I know. Walk along my coast in silence, not one word whispered from my breath, unlike the imposters, screaming like seagulls how they used to come to the shore. No more homes crushed under God's foot, crushed like a bug. I thought nothing of it. They thought nothing of it. Of Mother Mainland being the leech. I bleed for the beach. I mean, excuse me if I weep for the one thing I had innocent left in my life. My childhood memories turn into the crumbling twin towers. On a roller coaster ride, they collide, splashing into blue abyss. Strong arms cut through waves. Like glass, it shatters as they break. Salty sea breeze smells like home to me. On a surfboard fully in motion, riding on the crest of these words, flowing free as an ocean. Let go of what keeps you afloat. Sink it slow, 7 leagues below. Crash land in soft, wet sand. Don't blink, because it wasn't planned. That's it.
That was phenomenal. That was an amazing, amazing debut to the show, sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That felt really
and,
good.
You know, I can understand why people comment on the imagery in your poetry, because it's very vivid and beautiful and intense. And you have a really good way of pairing words together that can make pretty words mean something else, you know. And I think that adds to the intensity of that thought or that emotion. But, yeah, that was phenomenal.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome.
This is awesome. I didn't even know things like this existed.
Where else can you read poetry in your slippers, right?
Yeah. You don't have to get dressed and go to an open mic.
Well, now that, just so that you know, we do broadcast worldwide, so people all over the world can hear you right now.
Sweet.
Which I didn't tell you that before, because I didn't want you to be nervous. But, yeah, we broadcast worldwide. So, you know, it's pretty cool when you share your words. Something happens when you read a poem. It becomes a living, breathing thing. Like, you know, we're very protective of our words because they are pieces of us. But when we stand up and read them for the first time, it's like pushing them out of the nest. And they become their own identity. And they're out there in the world, and you don't
yeah.
know where they're going to go, who they're going to touch, who they're going to relate, who they're going to inspire, or what things are going to grow from that. You know, and when you start sharing your poems verbally and giving them wings, like Red Bull, wings, yeah, okay. Anyway, so, you know, something magic happens. Something magic happens about you know, the way you write, the way you look at poetry, the way you read, the way everything is pretty cool. So how long have you been reading? Because obviously this is your first time reading out loud.
Yeah, I honestly haven't been reading very long at all since November of last year, so about a year. I just won my first poetry slam last Monday, actually.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Awesome. And where was that at?
The Revolutionary Lounge in Toms River.
Very cool. We're very proud of you.
Thank you very much.
And what a neat thing to have happen during National Poetry Month, too.
Yeah, this is the first time that I've been aware that National Poetry Month existed. I'm trying to write a poem a day, although it takes a toll on you.
Yeah.
You know, I always set my goal for myself is to write something every day, and it has to be a haiku. Because if I can't find something that I see during the day to inspire 17 syllables, there's something wrong. You know, and then you're not putting all that pressure on yourself. So if you do actually write a whole poem, then it's, oh, yeah, I get extra points, you know, milk and cookies tonight. You know, but if you at least come up with 17 poetic syllables about something that caught your eye that day, so write a haiku a day, and that's much, much more fun.
That's a really good idea. Yeah, because haikus, they're much shorter, you know, with the three lines and syllables. But I tend to write as I go when I get ideas, because I feel like if I don't write down immediately what I have in mind, I'll never remember. Like last night before I went to bed, I had an idea, and I was like, I promise I'll remember in the morning, and then I get frustrated when I wake up and I forget my idea.
I do that too. You know, it's really funny. I have a story I tell about I was in the shower one time, and I was shampooing my hair, and you know, when you can't multitask when you're in the shower, and it's when
the shower is the best
still
place to get it.
Yeah, that inspiration hits us. And so I was the only one home, and this idea was in my head, and I'm repeating it over and over because I know if I wait, I won't remember. And so I had shampoo in my hair, and I'm running across the hallway to my office, and shampoo gets in my eyes, and I'm squinting my eyes shut, and I go into my office because I know where my desk is, and I'm going to get a pin, and the door was shut, and I ran right into the door. I just totally cold-cocked myself.
Oh, my gosh.
So from then on, I always kept a pencil in my shower, and my whole shower wall, because it was that, you know, washable linoleum, so on my whole shower wall, it was nothing but things I'd written while I was in the shower. It was crazy.
That is awesome.
So get your wax crayon or a wax pencil or something like that. Keep it in the shower, and you'll be good.
I need to do that. I wonder if I have, like, waterproof paper. I'll get, like, my own notepad. That's a good idea.
You know what? Had an old boyfriend by me one time that was so cool. Was he went to a scuba diving store and bought me this underwater tablet and pencil for in the shower.
What?
Yeah,
that is cool.
Isn't that crazy?
I feel like the shower gives you the best inspiration. There's something so relaxing. It's almost like going back to when you're in the womb. How it's very warm, and I don't know. It's just. It's awesome. I also, like, love water way, way too much.
Yeah, well, in the shower and driving, those are one that hits me the hardest.
Yeah.
Because we can't multitask. We can't get up and do anything. We're just kind of stuck there. All right, sweetheart, tell everyone how to find you, if you would.
I have a Tumblr account. It is called alongtheoceanside.tumblr.com, alongtheoceanside. And my name's pretty easy. It's Morgan Hunter. So you can find me on the Book of Faces, if you like. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, now that you've found your way here, you're no longer a speakeasy virgin. You're now part of the family.
You just took my cherry.
That's it. That's it. Is this the first time you've read on Worldwide Radio?
Yep.
Then for sure we did.
That's pretty awesome. Thank you.
So we really hope that you'll come back and share with us. I'm going to throw my Facebook link into the chat room. So if you want to throw me a friend's request on there, you can kind of keep up with the show announcements and stuff and things that are going on. I always put writing prompts every day, try to do it every day on my page and all kinds of fun stuff, list places that are taking submissions. So we got a lot of stuff going on over there for writers. So we'd love to have you join us, and definitely would love to have you come back and read again next week.
Okay. Is that your page or your Facebook page? Because I'm definitely friends with you on Facebook.
Nyla Alicia. It's my personal page on Facebook.
Your personal page. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
It was
nice to meet everybody.
It was wonderful meeting you, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay. Bye, Nyla.
Bye-bye. Michael, she was incredible.
Yeah, man.
I can't hear you. You went away.
Hello?
Hi. So, yay.
Yeah.
Welcome, Morgan, to the family. Okay, so, how are we doing?
So, somebody else has managed to get through, and it is our wonderful friend, Robbie Bebe.
Hey there.
Robbie.
Hi. How's it going?
It is going well. How are you doing, Robbie?
Not too bad. I'm starting to get my zing back finally. Starting to get things going on my business more and getting my mental faculties back. So that feels good, and I'm starting to feel better overall. So I'm going to read a poem called The Tunnel, and it's actually like those poems.
Hey,
yeah,
Bobby, whose show is this?
It's yours.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you how you're doing.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi. Hi, Nyla.
So since it's National Poetry Month, I wanted to take a moment with you before you started to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell us a little bit about why you started writing, when you started writing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. You know, you're messing with my mind because you said, whose show is it? And then you asked me to talk about myself.
Mm-hmm. No, you were just going straight into reading your poem, like you're using 90 miles an hour Energizer bunny tongue. No.
Okay. why I started writing, you asked?
Yep.
Okay. My very first poem was a result of, I wrote a poem to my aunt, or for my aunt, for when my uncle died, and it was one of those things that it just triggered something, and I just started writing like crazy, and then I took a big hiatus from that. I was in university, and then I started writing again once I got to the Creative Thinkers International, that site there, and they inspired me, and I've just been writing ever since then. It's just like many poets, it's actually more than therapizing, it's more my way of philosophizing. It's my way of getting my thoughts out, my philosophy and my personal philosophy and my feelings and what the world is like. Yeah, it's more that than the self-therapy thing. So
what do you think it is about poets that compels us to have to, why can't we just, what do you think it is about a poet?
Uh-huh.
That compels us, or makes us unable, I guess is a better word, the inability to look and say, the sky is blue. Why can we not do that?
Well, I think with artists in general, we all put our own, we all put the world in our own cipher. Like the a poet who sees the sky can't just say the sky is blue. They put it into words, like how blue it is. And they just see the world, through that poetic lens, whereas a painter, they'll do the same thing, but from a painter's point of view, they'll look at the sky and they say, I want to capture that sky, you know, and they'll try to capture it once they get home and put it on canvas. And just to artists in general, I think, yeah, they feel compelled to capture the world or reflect it in their particular art. And in a poet's particular case, they do it through words.
I agree. I always thought that it's that we see with such a clarity,
mm-hmm.
that we see the simplicity and the beauty of everything, even sorrow. I mean, there you can't tell me. It's like, you know, I something will happen and a relationship's ending, you know, and I should be devastated. And all I can think about is, oh, my God, I'm going to be able to milk this for about 3 months of awesome poetry. Oh, yeah. All right. We'll, yes, we can still be friends. Yes, take the, just get out, get out, get out. I want to start writing, you know.
Don't tell him that.
You know,
you're going to be a
source almost,
of great
poetry, you know, we have it. The intensity of everything, and I think that it's, we see the world so intensely, but with such a simplicity that we don't understand why everybody doesn't get it, and so we have this compulsion to explain it to people so that they can get it because they don't.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is too is that we feel everything so intensely that if we didn't vent it out in some sort of form of art, we'd go mad. We'd do the Van Gogh thing, you know, and we, yeah.
What, all fall in love with hookers and cut our ear off?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe not the exact thing, but something that we wouldn't want to do.
Okay, so tell us about the poem that you picked out tonight and why you decided to read it.
Okay, well, this is one that I had written at 2 a.m., I think it was. It was just like the other reader had said, and that's why I tuned into what she was saying, that, you know, it was starting to get into my head, and I said, I can't lose this one. I got to write it. And so I scramble from bed, turn on the laptop, and started writing, and I have to do it by laptop because my thought process with poetry is so fast. There's no way I'm going to... If I try to do it handwriting, it's just not fast enough. but yeah, I wanted to write this one down before I lost it. And actually, it made me think of a friend. It was kind of an afterwards, like my friend was talking about something, and this poem reflected that. So now it makes me think of my friend who was talking about kind of the whole thing of struggling and not being able to see the end. So... that makes me think of him now.
Very, very cool. Okay, I'll go ahead when you're ready.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, the tunnel. Journeying so far, so long down an unknown tunnel, and all of the bounty of life it surrounds, abounds just outside the tunnel's dimensions. A place I journey to, there, at the end of the tunnel, just at the twilight of my new dawn. I journey ever onwards through the tunnel, and alas, so long the journey has been that I have forgotten the bounty that lays outside, not just at the end. I've taken the tunnel as my whole reality, my whole world of existence, forgetting that once I get to the end of that tunnel, that my new dawn does indeed lay outside. I realize this now, finally, as that the journey is not a destination, that the destination is not a journey, but that endings have a beginning in them, just as much as beginnings contain an ending. Part way through, I do not know what lays at the tunnel. Some part of me, some small part of me, perhaps it just doesn't care. Which surprises me, but at the same time, it doesn't. For I wish to approach life as an ever-present moment, attending to each moment so that the best future is guaranteed, and so that the future becomes a past I do not regret. I seek to undress every moment fully like a lover, exploring the full bounty of each moment, taking the fire of each moment, welding it like Prometheus in my hand, so that as each moment comes to me, I may nurse it as I should, so that happiness may come to me more readily, no longer seeming like some faraway land. And that was written around 2 a.m., thinking about the tunnel that's just down by where I live in the neighborhood on the, it's called the McVicker Creek Path. Yeah, so I was actually thinking of that tunnel. And I could
it's
tell
weird
this
where inspiration comes from.
Yeah, and it's funny. I could tell I wrote this at 2 a.m. because you could hear me stumbling a few parts, and it's like, wow.
Are you trying to read your own writing?
Well, I mean, it was, even though it was typed up, some of the grammar was atrocious. I said, okay, yeah, I wrote this at 2 a.m. and I haven't edited this yet.
Well, you know, you read it very well for that being the case.
Mm, thanks.
You're welcome. All right, my dear, so do you want to tell everyone how they can come find you, visit with you, what you've got going on, all that good stuff?
Well, as always, my works are centralized now at my Wix site, W-I-X. That's Robbie Baby, Dark Poet, all one word, lowercase, .wix.com/poetry. And I'll be working as soon as I can on my Robbie's Multimedia poetry site, my business site. And also, I just want to put this link in the chat and also put it out there on the airwaves at Blog Talk Radio, WTLC Talk Radio. There's a show there called Back to Intimacy / Sensual Whispers with Next Level. Some people here might remember him. He had a Love Sensual Erotic Poetry show on a while back, and he's back now, and I'm kind of his official co-pilot or semi-official co-pilot now. Like, basically I'm a co-host on the show, so you can hear me there every Wednesday co-hosting with him at 9 p.m. It goes from 9 to 11.
That's very cool. I didn't know you were doing that.
Well, it's one of those things that I just going to double check the time here. Yeah, things that he and I, we've had a good vibe going for a long time, and I kind of unofficially became his ace mellow, his ace 5-0, as he would call it, or now he's calling me Captain Lava, as there's a long story behind that. But yeah, so just go to WTLC Talk Radio, and you'll see Sensual Whispers scheduled there. So it's funny how life happens that way and how art happens that way. You just end up, gelling with somebody and that, and you just end up doing things with them and for them and all that, so.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you get a chance and you want to call back and erase something else, you're more than welcome to do that.
Well, I'll just
thing
I'll
for
just
Ms. Morgan. I see her in the chat room. If you guys are able to get back on the lines, because we are having issues with that right now.
Yeah.
So do you want to hang out? Do you want us to put you on hold, or do you want to?
Yeah, put me on hold just in case, you know, the lines get fuddy-duddy and I can't call back in. That's
okay.
My official technical term, yeah, fuddy-duddy.
That works.
Okay.
All right, sweetie, we'll talk to you in a little bit. Okay, Michael.
Yeah.
Now I get to ask you those questions.
Yeah.
So, but first I want to remind the callers, the number to call in is 646-595-3965. We are having some gremlins on the phone lines and the chat room and stuff on the site tonight in the studio. So if you're getting a fast, busy signal when you dial in, just please keep trying. If the chat room is not loading for you fully, you may want to try opening it on a different browser, update your Adobe Flash, something. So anyway, so what do you think, Michael? What I want to know, what I want to ask you, impromptu interview here, and then we'll play a file. Actually, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to play one of your files.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
You're going in again.
And that's how I roll on the slide.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when did you start writing? Why did you start writing? What was it like for you?
Well, let's see. I did some extra writing when I was in, like, grade school, going into high school. By extra, I mean it wasn't for an assignment, you know, homework or class assignments. But then I picked up on it again in early 20s. And I did it for a while, and I stopped, and then I picked up on it yet again. In my late 20s, so I've kind of always gone back and forth on my writing. And, it, you know, technically, I hardly feel like a writer right now. I've written maybe I can count on one hand the number of poems I've written in the past year plus.
You know, I get people tell me that, and they'll say, you know, well, I haven't written anything in a long time, so, you know, I'm not really a poet, or, you know, I'm not a real poet. And, you know, I sit there, and I did my homework, and I searched through every dictionary I could find, every thesaurus, every search engine, mm-hmm. every, you know, file source that I could find, and nowhere does it say that, you know, and this is, nowhere does it say that you are mm-hmm. a writer or a poet, a real writer or poet, if you write a poem every day, or if you write 3 poems
right.
a month, that classifies you. You know, sometimes our brains stop, and everyone freaks mm-hmm. out and calls it writer's block, and then that's when the real damage happens. But you have to understand.
Yeah, you're telling yourself you can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes your muse just needs to breathe, sleep,
mm-hmm.
be quiet.
Well,
you know, we
like,
think. Go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, I didn't say that I don't feel like a poet almost kind of on purpose because, if poetry, you can be a writer and write a lot of different things. Like, I do write-ups for the website for the soccer team I work for. I've done soccer poetry. I've written press releases, whatever. My main form of creative writing expression is poetry. Like, just naturally, that's how it comes out. So, I kind of feel like a poet is, one of the few things I can actually call myself that is accurate.
Yeah.
What
I was saying wasn't directed at you, but it's what was the catalyst to, you know, when people mm-hmm. say, you know, well, I don't feel like a real poet or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I always think that was when your muse is quiet, it's when it's telling you to listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it changes it changes form. Just like I said, I haven't been writing much, but I've been doing a lot more art stuff, like digital work with Photoshop and just
mm-hmm.
you know, typography, hand drawn lettering and stuff like that. So it's always there. It's just a matter of how it's being expressed.
Exactly.
Sometimes you got to get the creativity out in your office. You know, just do weird shit in your office because it makes you happy.
I agree. We won't even discuss what goes on in my office. The sanctuary.
Yeah. You had that whole rating I mentioned at the beginning, so yeah, we probably shouldn't. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No,
you haven't expect parties. No, I'm kidding.
So the poem that I'm going to play yours is called Ceaseless, and it's kind of a cool story behind this poem. You want to share that with us?
Okay. Well, you're talking about the recording itself?
Mm-hmm, with Apollo.
You're playing that one? Yeah. So, when we started, Apollo Poetry, Traveling Poet, you might know him as any of those things, he was on all the time, and, you know, he was a good friend of the show. He still is, obviously, but he sort of volunteered to help me put a track together, and he put, you know, music to it and produced it, and he made it something different, a new piece of art.
It's a very, very cool collaboration the two of you did together. So, you guys, this is our very own Michael E. Quigg, better known as Q, with a track produced by Apollo Poetry, and it's called Ceaseless. Here we go.
It's another one. Get some. Come on.
I have no complaints. On my future, there is no constraint. But it's there.
There.
Forever there. Lurking around each corner, hovering over my heart, waiting to envelop me and return me to its chains. Darkness does not go away. Hope's light may, but the darkness does not. Battles have been fought and won, demons have been slain, and ghosts have been exorcised. Why can my soul not rest? What test have I failed? Everyday woes in comparison paled as my hands, reaching, clutching, grasping, trying to stop my slide, but I can't stem the tide, and I am swallowed up, hollowed out, and crumpled on the floor, a spineless shell of the man I was before, my soul consumed by darkness. These demons still haunt me. These goddamn fears still taunt me. And I am gripped by sadness, if for no other reason than because I draw breath. Darkness does not go away.
I absolutely love that track. Phenomenal work by you. Great production by Apollo. And it seriously, you know, that's a living, breathing thing all on its own now.
Yep. Thank you.
Very cool. Very intense piece, Michael.
I suppose.
You know, for a writer, you're not a man of many words.
How ironic.
All right. So we do have another caller that was able to get through. Do you want to bring them on with us?
You mean 732 later? Press 1.
Oh, 732. If you'd like to come on the air, please press 1 on your phone now so that we can bring you on and you can talk with us. And we don't have to sit here and just talk with each other. So 732.
Well, I just thank you. No, I don't like putting
What's
people
that?
On the spot. You know, I don't like putting people on the spot if they don't want to read them.
I know. Well, I didn't notice that. So, yeah, 732. If you'd like to talk on the air, press 1. Otherwise, just go ahead and hang out and enjoy the show. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome to press 1 at any time. It'll put you up in our queue. All right.
Yeah.
So do you want to pick out another track to play?
Sure. Whose track should I pick now? I don't know. Maybe I'll spare you and you sweat the whole fucking show. Okay, let's see. We've been playing a lot of tracks, but this puts...
I'll let you look at it. Let you look at them for a second. So, you guys, just in case you don't know or you're listening and you're not on my Facebook page, you can find me at facebook.com/ Nyla, N-Y-L-A, Alicia, A-L-I-S-I-A. And every day we put writing prompts up on the page. You're welcome to post your poetry on there. We share links for things like, you know, places that are accepting submissions and such, things that will inspire music, all that kind of things. And we've got this thing going on. It's off to a kind of a slow start because, you know, new things always are. But it's called Add a Line, Take a Line. So you come into I have a note posted on my page, and I'll be posting the link to that again when I'm done, when we're done here. But you go in and you can add a line to the forum or to the note in the comments section, and you can go through all the lines that have been left by other people and choose as many or as few or one as you'd like and use those to create a poem with. So it's a way to kind of inspire each other. So, hey, guess what? I stalled long enough that there's a caller that got through.
Yeah, you did indeed. Yeah, so let's go ahead and take them.
Okay.
847, you are on the air.
What's up, Nyla? What's up, Q? This is Jacqueline Harris. How you guys been?
Hey, Jacqueline, how are you doing?
Can't complain. No one listens anyway.
Right.
Happy Poetry Month.
Oh, thank you. Happy Poetry Month to you, too.
So since it's National Poetry Month, I want to take a little bit of time and talk with you for a minute, if that's okay. And
hey,
I want to find out about you as a poet. What does poetry mean to you? What does it mean to your life? What made you start writing? You know, what inspires you? Share a little bit with us.
I started writing, well, first of all, what poetry means to me is it's basically a lifeline, because I started writing poetry and performing poetry because my life was pretty much going nowhere and I felt like nothing, and it was an excuse to get up and just do something. And, you know, we're all verbs. We are what we do. and I wrote my first book of poetry when I was in the hospital. And I put it out there just to prove to myself that I could do this, and I've been writing ever since then. I'm about to put out my third book this summer, so it meant a great deal to me to call myself a poet and to be among poets, either online or in person, and just share myself that way. And I love hearing other people's stories, and I love hearing other people's poetry and points of view. And it's been a galvanizing thing for me. It's been a motivating thing.
Great word to describe it, galvanizing. That's awesome. You know, how hard was it for you, or how strange was it the first time you heard the words come out of your mouth when someone asked you, what do you do? And you told them, I'm a poet. What was that like?
It wasn't strange. I was hoping they wouldn't ask me anything else. Because, it wasn't strange to call myself a poet. I've been writing off and on since I was a kid, but to venture off and call what I did poetry and then try to just open myself up and perform it in front of people, that was the hard part. But
was it like the first time you got up and read out loud?
It was so exhilarating, and it was the biggest high. Some people get high from chemicals. I get high from getting on stage and spitting my creation. So
very cool.
I know it sounds kind of narcissistic, but I'm trying to. Yeah, it's true.
No, it doesn't sound narcissistic at all. At all. No, I understand completely. So why don't you tell us about the poem that you picked out today to share with us and why you picked that poem?
I picked this poem because it was me looking backward on who I was and what I was and just thinking back and how things could have gone differently, and I was feeling sad when I put the poem up and in the first draft on Facebook, but, you know, I decided to clean out all the other grammatical errors and everything and make it a part of the third book, so.
Very cool. Well, go ahead when you're ready.
For Neptis. NIU, September 1995, my first day of college. A grown man shouts at me from across the parking lot at Grant Towers North with the emboldened adoration of a boy who just wants the girl to see him. You are the finest girl here, he says. And what do I say? Or rather, what did I say to him? What do you do when someone as beautiful as this African joy says something like that to you? How does a lady respond to the deifying of her outward appearance by someone other than family? Before then, I was cute at the most, but fine? Fine was like a foreign language. I wasn't fine. I was broken. I was not ready for fine. But he was gorgeous. He was bold, beautiful, built, and black like the starry night, and I wasn't ready. In my mind, I was still so ugly. That was my only truth. After 4 years of being ignored, picked on, picked over, I found myself starting all over again, a freshman with, as usual, no friends and no tolerance, no patience for what I thought was bullshit. I wasn't fine. I thought he should have saved the, oh, babies, you so fine for the club. I thought he should have saved that crap for the female woman enough to play the role, not me. Never me. I was the punchline to every joke ever written about the homely girl beaten to the tune of an ugly stick. My ass was already turned inside out so the world could see my ugly bones. And all I wanted was to get to class and find my way without hearing the same shit again and having it verbally tattooed to my soul again. I looked at that beautiful man, the only thing close to a real man that I've seen. And for every boy who ever tortured me, ever turned me away, looked me over and counted me out, for every person who treated me like I was invisible, and for the hell of it, I said, fuck you. And I meant it. And I'm sorry, because I'm not fine, and I was not beautiful, and I'll probably never be that. But that's okay, because it needed to come out. I needed to say something. I just wish with all my heart that I hadn't said it to him. And that's that piece.
Wow. That was intense.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, there was a common thread woven throughout that entire piece. And I don't know if you consciously, I think that maybe you did, but it was the power and the importance of words said. You know, and you really drove the point of that home when you said verbally tattooed on your soul. You know,
mm-hmm.
and we sit there and we don't even realize. I mean, it starts happening to us before we're old enough to even defend ourselves from it. And that's the world molding us and labeling us and creating us with its words. She's shy. You know, she's smart. She's too tall. She's a Pollyanna. You know, she's slow.
Right.
Those type of things. And we grow up wearing those labels like surnames, that no matter what we try to call ourselves, those are always there following us around.
Exactly.
And there, it's a very empowering place that we all reach at some point. And unfortunately, it's usually later in life than earlier in life when it would really do us some good, when we are able to stand up and say, fuck you. You know, this is me, period. You know, and to be able to divorce yourself from all of the fingerprints that molded you into what they think you are. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to do that. And that, to me, that was the empowering part of that poem, was that realization, you know, throughout the whole scenario that you played out for us, you know, the bittersweet of all of it. It was just a phenomenal piece of writing.
There's also it's a double-edged sword to that, because he was actually complimenting me and he was serious mm-hmm. about the compliment.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
was in
and
a place where
power,
I wasn't
that's
ready.
That surname, biting you in the butt, you know. To him, you were. Everybody has their own perfect, you know. And so he meant what he was saying, you know, but you'd been so conditioned by words that without even realizing, you snap back and take it away.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood perfectly. Beautiful piece of writing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, sweetheart, you want to do me a favor and tell everyone how to come find you? Tell us where your books are, how we can find that, all that good stuff.
You can find both my books currently on Amazon.com, Random Acts of Verse and My Revolution. My Revolution is available on Amazon Kindle, and you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. That's it.
Okay. So if you were to leave parting thought of inspiration for the poets who are listening, what would it be?
Be yourself. Be uncompromisingly yourself.
Beautiful.
And just do it for you.
Very cool. Sweetheart, I appreciate so much that you took the time to come and share with us and hang out with us for as long as you did tonight. We've kept you on a little bit longer, but it was really nice being able to spend this time and talk with you and get to know you a little bit more. And
thank you so much.
So, you're welcome, and really hoping that you'll come back and read more often, because we miss you when you're not around.
Oh, thanks. I miss you guys too, and I will come back and read more often when I have something to say.
We're writers. We always have something to say. All right, sweetheart. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Peace out.
Bye, honey. Okay, so did you have a file picked out, Michael?
I did. I did indeed. So I'm going to play a track from Written in Pain, Our Friend. It's funny, it's two of them here produced by you, so I'm going to let you choose which one you want to play. There is Love Sick and there's Never Endings.
You know, Love Sick is probably one of my favorites that he's done. Never Endings is amazing too, though. But I think my favorite's Love Sick.
Okay. Well, then, Love Sick it is. This is Written in Pain, produced by our very own Nyla Alicia. And, yeah, Love Sick, here we go.
Love Sick. Flee from me, O love. Depart from the reach of high. Gather with you your empty vows and false promises, declarations of immortality. Move from me, O love. Why, the mere mention of your wicked existence only aids in the decomposition of what you have left of my depleted body. Love, I want no parts of you. You are the cloak the soul is used to attack the soulful. Love, do not even acknowledge your existence. Curses to your falsehood, your salted kisses and bitter lies. Oh, love, leaving me in a worse state than when I was found, for now I crave you. Yes, love, craving you without reason. You have robbed me of my very sanity. Love, you have rendered me unable to love myself. Since this be so, let me be filled with damnation or nothing at all. Let me be voided of even my own existence, for I am grown sick of love from hair to skin to the very marrow of my bones. Pain has me pent up. I can feel the walls closing in. Try not to ball up while looking for a pressure pin. Deep, dark, beyond measuring. Digging, trying to find what it is that I am treasuring. Love dealt me a hand. I could not hold it. I folded. I once had a heart of gold and someone stole it. Then they sold it. It equates to scattered screams and shattered dreams. Dreams that don't vision clearly. Screams when no one hears me. Muted while mutated. Degraded. Degraded. Decimated while painfully educated. Till I am emotionally eradicated. The road to nowhere is endless. Booted by lost premise. See, my life's motivation was hijacked, kidnapped, by a hater and a lover's mask. Trick me, treat me, beat me. Like a hyena when you eat me, laughing at me while gnashing at me. If trust is protection, I have no weapons. Love is leverage, it aids deception. I must be a bullseye. They keep aiming, disregard in my direction. My life is death row. Where's my injection? Since the arms of despair is my only affection, I evade love without detection. I've grown sick from love's infection. Unshielded, no deflection. Pain. It's got me pent up while the walls are closing in. I'm trying not to ball up while looking for pressure pins. Love. Oh, sweet love, move from high, for I love you not. That was written in pain.
Amazing storyteller too, story writer. A lot of people don't know that about him, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how are we doing?
Hold on one sec, Carolina.
Okay.
Okay, well, I get somebody. Wait, no, I don't.
I see one Sapien on, but
yeah,
he
always gets one when he's ready, so.
Yeah, he's not ready yet. So, poets, the number to call in is 646-595-3965. If you happen to be getting a fast, busy signal when you're trying to call in, please keep trying. It'll let you on eventually. Okay, same thing with the chat room. If you're trying to get into the chat, just keep poking it with a stick. And so 847's already been on, right? Michael?
Yeah, that's Jacqueline.
Okay, all right. So why don't you go ahead and choose another file.
Okay.
And I want to remind people to, Andy's supposed to call in sometime tonight when he gets a break from work, but I want to remind everybody to be sure to check out Reverse, Classic Poetry Open Mic, on Sundays. I believe it's on at 7. He moved the time. But yeah. It's you can read anybody's work but your own, and the whole show was built on the conception of the fact that if you are not reading more than you're writing, you're doing it backwards. You have to have input in order to have output. Okay, and that's one of the things that I used to fight when I was a kid, because I was afraid that if I read other people's poetry, that it would inspire me and it wouldn't be my own writing anymore. Well, hello. Yeah, that's exactly what it does, is it does inspire you. But it will plant seeds of thought in your head and mm-hmm. take you in places you couldn't imagine. So, you know, you do. You have to have input. You have to put stuff into your brain in order for your brain to grow and have output. The more you put in, the more you'll be able to put out. So,
right.
Yeah, come check out Reverse. You can read anyone's poetry but your own. Very amazing show. Very cool. We have a lot of fun over there. That's on
yeah.
Sunday at 7. All right, so go ahead. Hey, by the way, Michael, and I'm going to throw this out there because we're all a family, okay? But I am seriously thinking about the possibility of moving the show from Thursday nights to Sunday nights as well.
Really?
So kind of mull that around, and, you know, if you guys want to, in the chat room, you want to send me an email, kind of, you know, tell me how that you think that would work. But yeah, seriously been thinking about moving it from Thursdays to Sundays. So yeah, toying with the idea, I guess. Anyway, who do we have?
All right.
Or what are we doing? I got lost.
Well, actually, Mr. Sapien has has gone ahead and pressed one, so why don't we bring him on? Is there like a cat near your phone or something?
Yes. Quiet, Luna.
Well, no, because I was like, I kept hearing, I'm looking at my cat, like, wait, that wasn't her. What's going on?
Yes, he's frozen now. Stick his face right in mine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They always do that. It's the talking, I think.
As long as he doesn't step on my board, I'm going to be okay.
Right.
So yeah, I guess this is his debut. He wants to share his little purr poem for National Poetry Month. Can you hear him purring?
Yeah.
Jeez, he's a big guy too.
So,
all right.
Huh?
So let's go ahead and bring Sapien on, so something will drown this cat out.
All right, here we go. Oh, fabulous fuzzy one, you are on the air.
Hey, fuzzy hermit in the woods. How's everybody?
Hi, James.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
Finally got some decent sleep.
Very cool. So I got some questions for you because it's National Poetry Month.
Well, first I got to say, wouldn't moving the show to Sunday conflict with Reverse?
Mm-mm. No, we just do it a different time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Haven't decided yet. But maybe. Possibility. Okay. So, I just have a lot of people email me and tell me that they aren't home in time and stuff, and they'd love to come read, but the time makes it hard for them to do that. So I'm thinking that maybe if we moved it to a Sunday, more people would have a chance to come and share.
You'd post a question on the Facebook page.
That would work.
Right.
So if this were a democracy.
Yeah. Well, you are asking for input.
I was joking.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
made Michael
I was
laugh.
Just going to say there was a forum I was on where you could actually certain people on the forum who had permission could actually create polls, so you could, I don't know, Facebook can you can do that on Facebook.
That's way much more work than I'm willing to put into this, I think.
Well, it all depends on, I mean, with the forum, I assume all it was whoever had permission to create a poll, that they just say, create poll, and then you just write in the question, and then, yes or no, and then people would just have to click, and that's it. So we got 4.5 inches of snow on Monday.
No, wait, we're not talking about snow today. I'm asking the questions this time. I've got the reins on you, buddy. You ready?
Well, it rained over the weekend.
We're not talking about rain.
Major
we're not talking about snow. We're talking about James. James.
Yeah.
James.
Or the
Hi.
Hermit. Yes.
Hi, James. I have a question for you.
Yes.
So, I want to know what made you start writing. Or when did you start writing?
I started writing in the middle of 2005. That's when I really started writing. My first poem I actually wrote, which was like 4 lines, was when I was somewhere between 15 and 17. But back then, I hated English and writing, so I didn't get into it. But I had wanted to start writing since the early 90s, but just made excuses and procrastinated and came to the realization that it just wasn't time, and to use an old AA counselor's phrase, I wasn't going to push the river. And, you know, it's just like the old phrase that, you know, everything happens in your life for a reason, and that, you know, just because you want to do something doesn't mean it's going to happen right now. And I started writing what I needed to start to write.
I like the way you put that. Go ahead. You can continue. I just had to stop you and say that was really cool. I started writing what
I
needed to.
The guy who ran the halfway house I was in said, we were talking about in AA, there's a step where you write an inventory, and then the next one you share it with someone else. He was telling me that Buitt's high ranking in Shaolin Ru type of karate, and he had said to me one time that you know, your mind is like a coffee cup on a saucer, and the coffee is not only running, overflowing the cup, it's also overflowing the saucer and running onto the floor. You know, and it's time to dump some of this crap that you're carrying around.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's not always crap, it's you know, it could be something positive, because we all know that everybody...
Well, positive things can still be crap. I think you mean it metaphorically,
yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
The all-encompassing crap word.
What?
The all-encompassing
crap. Well, I could have said, you know, just to dump some fecal matter, you know, it's another way.
It was cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of like the guy in San Francisco, or in Salt Lake City, when I stopped in to have him look at my 4x4 van and asked him if he knew any place I could get the radiator flushed, and so he's calling a couple places, and all of a sudden, he's a Mormon, and I don't say that, I mean that in a bad way, because Mormons don't swear. So all of a sudden, he's behind the counter, I'm standing there, and he blurts out, "Well, crap!" And I just started laughing. I think it was because the guy didn't have any time. But he did find someplace else, which was cool, and I was able to take Merlin in, and he said hi to everybody. And,
that's cool.
I went for a walk for a while.
So let me ask you this now, okay? I would like you to tell us about the poem you're going to read and what made you pick it out to read tonight.
I live a life of rigorous honesty. I have to. It's part of the polished granite foundation of my sobriety and my life. And I abhor drama and people who BS, hide the truth. As far as I'm concerned, if someone withholds the truth from me, it's almost the same as lying to me. And I don't put up with that kind of stuff. It's a waste of my time. Fortunate that, at least in my opinion, the way I've seen the world progress as I've gotten older over the past few decades, that it's actually, it seems to me like in a lot of cases it's going backwards, especially with all this PC bullshit that's been going on. And, you know, I just heard something on the news this morning about something absolutely ridiculous that some school sent home about not reporting being bullied. how to deal with it. And the school got such a backlash, they apologized right away and then gave some PC statement about why they had sent this thing home with their kid. I got bullied when I was a kid for like 6 fucking years. The kids that did it, if that happened now, they would have been expelled from school. So I have very little tolerance for stuff like that. Even though I do have a lot of patience, I don't like professional sports. I think most of them are high-priced slaves, and they just don't know it. Some people might not like that, but I don't really care. I play baseball with people. 3 strikes and you're out. Most people usually end up getting more like 10. There's only been a few where it's been like 3, just because I'm a nice guy. But back to the piece I decided to read tonight. I guess it's just, it's a progression about honesty. I think what can happen. It sounds so cliche, I guess, that old phrase that the truth will set you free. And until someone actually experiences it, I believe that don't understand. There was a phrase that I had read a long time ago in a book that went something like, to read is to know, to do is to understand. So you can read all you want, and it's just like, I decided not to become an engineer for 2 reasons. One, because I couldn't figure out what the hell F of X was. It just was completely beyond my comprehension. And the other was that I had seen firsthand the just lack of common sense that some engineers possess. Or I could word it the other way and say how little common sense they possess with what they do. And that made it easier for me to decide that I didn't want to be an engineer. Plus the fact that I didn't like physics either. And now I just suffered a moment of CRS.
You were going to tell us which poem you were going to read.
It's entitled Truth. So, I'm going to read it.
Please. Yes, of course, yes.
Okay. Truth. Stood upon a high precipice, my mind cleared, and I saw truth. Not your truth, my truth. You have to find your own just like everyone else. However, I will help you if I can. I found my truth in the depths of my soul, that part of me which did not want to die when I was sure I was going to. This was over 28 years ago. There is a certain sense of fear, panic, and relief, although the experience is not for the faint of heart. You truly need to want to live and to live by a set of rules. These rules consist of rigorous self-honesty on a daily basis, which I sometimes refer to as brutal. brutal self-honesty and to treat everyone the same. There is no room in my world for political correctness. To pacify someone just because they have a fragile ego. These people need to know the honest and sometimes painful truth, which presents itself to each and every one of us at specific times in our life when we need to learn an important lesson. If people are not told the truth or are protected from the truth, they will remain emotionally as young children, always demanding more while blaming everyone else for their problem, with an ever-growing, unrealistic sense of entitlement. No one owes you anything. Once you reach the age of reason, if you ever do. Those who don't remain as children, acting out in more and more abusive, manipulative, and violent ways so that they may obtain that which they have not truly earned, do obtain some power unjustly, they will most assuredly abuse it, and usually with reckless abandon. We are all witness to this now, from the entire spectrum of humanity. It does not matter where you are born, fear, greed, and extremism are what fuel all wars. In a perfect world, or as perfect as could be, life would be like it was portrayed by the idealistic writers of Star Trek. However, if we were capable of being honest with ourselves, we will freely admit that the human race has not evolved enough, however much some people want to believe or remain naive or deny this fact, truth, or there to be no more wars. I grew weary of society, its selfishness and self-centered bent, and therefore detached myself from said society as much as possible. One man can take only so much exposure to incompetence and self-aggrandizement. The liars lie and blame others for the bars on their prison cell because they are incapable of truth, incapable of admitting any fault of their own, and that they are the ones who place the bars on their own cell. There is no rhyme, reason, or room for true humility in their lives. That would be too painful to face the harsh reality of one's own life. So they choose to create a fantasy life, fill it with all the emptiness of infinite space, creating an insatiable desire which can never be satiated from outside themselves. It can only be filled from within. I learned this many, many years ago. Yet, I still do not understand it completely. To read is to know. To do is to understand. However, sometimes the doing needs to be repeated many, many times before true understanding is achieved. So, I seek truth, and others who seek the same. Through this truth, life is born, created, recreated, lived, and reproduced to live again. End poem.
That was incredible and sapient. There was one place in there, and I don't know how easy it would be for you to go back and find that, but it's the part where you read, where you said, nobody owes you anything. Do you know where, can you find that real quick? Is it easy to scroll up and find? No one owes you anything.
No one owes you anything once you reach the age of reason, if you ever.
Yeah, read that part for me again, through the part where it says not truly earned.
No one owes you anything once you reach the age of reason, if you ever do. Those who don't remain as children, acting out in more and more abusive, manipulative, and violent ways so that they may obtain that which they have not truly earned.
I love that. That in itself is an incredibly powerful statement. It is. It really is.
And this is actually part of this is was born out of some of the politics that was going on at the time. And you could still translate it to now and how and, you know, it's probably been going on ever since the beginning of time that, you know, politicians buy their way in for the most part.
I agree.
And it's just unfortunate that, I guess one other thing that, it seems to me that they're just not teaching kids nowadays the importance of learning how the country works, and that they have a very real vested interest in participating in a part of society that that a lot of people just don't. But however, I have to say that there's probably a lot of people that don't, just because of their station in life, which I've written about before, that whatever station you're in right now, it's not permanent. You know, some people may think, woe is me, you know, I'm going to be this way for the rest of my life. You're there because you need to learn something, and then once you learn what you need to learn, then you can move on. You may end up moving sideways rather than moving up, which is what most people want to do, but you might have to move sideways first. And you actually, if you need a dose of humility, or back to the old counselor, might need to eat some crow, that you may actually be forced into a situation where you may need to move down a step on the ladder before you can actually go up again.
Yeah.
And because of that, not to get too off into the weeds and back onto what I was going to say.
I'll reel you in.
They're too busy working to make enough money so that they can survive and feed themselves, and if they've got a family, to feed them their family. And I was
mm-hmm.
just listening to some stuff on the news today about, you know, 90% of what we spend money on right now, the government is not, has removed from their current calculations on what determines inflation.
Yeah. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm reeling you back in. We're getting too far off track here.
I was done.
I know. You know, you're absolutely fascinating. And that's one of the things I admire about your poetry, James, is the fact that you write from a place that is so bare bones, raw, gut honest, you know, not just about life and the way things are, but about you and your situations and the things that you've been through, you know, that it's very rare for someone to write as vulnerable as you do, you know, down to the bones vulnerable. And, you know, I just applaud your courage in sharing what you've been through in life, the things that you've learned, the things that you know, but you don't preach. You know, you don't, you know, you've been through a lot, and in your poetry you share the lessons you've learned and the things that you know, and you always leave us with hope, and you always leave the decision up to the person. You know, you can never force anybody to do anything. All you can do is open the door, and it's up to them to walk through it. You know, and that is definitely the way that you write, and so I just think that's pretty cool, awesome. So do me a favor, love, tell everyone how they can find you.
You can find me by typing in Poetry in the Wind as one word, no spaces. Put it in the Google box. Put it in the search box in Facebook, and you'll find my Facebook page. If you put it in the Google box, I am Googleable, but you'll only find my mashed-up Twerky Tweak MySpace page. If you're interested in reading some of my pieces, you can find them in a book entitled Held, A Fusion of Brilliance, Volume 2. It's available on Amazon and was published in January of 2012. It's an international anthology of writers from Canada, the UK, and the US. So, and there's a few people on that come in to chat and some read, I think, that have thought they've liked it. That's where you can find the commando poem if somebody wants to read that one. Remember, I was trying to find it for 2 weeks. Just to touch on one thing you mentioned I would like to extend my kudos and appreciation to all those people, especially the women that write about really difficult situations, because that is part of what I was talking about before, and, you know, the old phrase, truth will set you free, and, the, you know, another old phrase is you're only as sick as your secret, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, to just tell your story, it was like what happened and what it's like now, and just let go of it, and don't hold any unrealistic expectations from anyone that you present it to. But something else that I realized years ago that's extremely important, that if I tell one or more people something about myself and it comes back around to me in a bad way, I can only blame myself, because everybody talks. You know, some people are better at keeping secrets than others. I don't keep secrets because I am not afraid of my past. There is nothing in my past that could come back to haunt me. I'm sure there is, you know, for some. But karma will deal with that. not to be negative there, but believe in that.
Great words of wisdom. So do you want us to put you on hold, James?
Sure.
Keep listening. Okay, and if we have time, we can bring you back on, depending on how the show goes. All righty?
Sounds good.
All right. Great job, sweetheart. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nyla. Thanks, Michael. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. All right. Michael Q. How are we doing now?
We got a couple more people on hold. One of them is our friend Noreen. She hasn't pressed one yet, though, so we'll see about that. But for now, we'll go to 832. You're on the air.
832, are you with us?
Yes, this is she. Hi, Naila.
Hey, sweetheart, how are you?
Great.
Thank you, Naila. Thank you, Mike. Okay,
it's been a while since I've heard of you, from you, Uma.
Sorry, say that again. Hello?
We can hear you, but you're breaking up just a little bit, hon.
Okay, just a second. Let me take it out of the speaker system, so let me help us.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay. Hi. I have two poems, and I would like to read whichever you want me to, or both of them. They're not too big, but I don't want to take others' time also. One is Be a Butterfly, and the other one is called This Can Be You.
Okay.
So, actually, Be a Butterfly is the same thing as This Can Be You, but the other one, I think, is You Can Be. So these are two different poems. Let me read Be a Butterfly first. This can be you, this can be me. They like to sit down with a long, forlorn face, with a frown, pulling your self-esteem down. Or do you like yourself to soar, the unseen horizons of yore that can lift up your spirit to explore? No matter how much the negative thoughts can implore, you will rise and shine to define the day of your glory. You have in you what it takes. Nothing except your fear is at stake. Get ready to get up from that sofa. Go climb hills or mountains. If not, walk up and down on the terrain. Do extend your back, for you are nobody's slave. Why worry of nothing when the day is bright and sunny? Trust in yourself that you can achieve. I do not see a reason why not. Look out of the window. There is so much to train. Don't spend a life in sulking in this rain. Learn from the butterflies how lovely a life can be. The dirty little crawling itching worm we call caterpillar did its penance by putting a cocoon around itself, shedding all that irksome stuff. It grew into a colorful, winged, nature's own miracle that can fly to catch your eye. Now you know you can be what you want to be. Be a butterfly and fly far, far away. End quote.
That's beautiful, honey. And you want to read the other one?
Yeah, this is almost similar to the other one also. This says, you can be. You can be. You can be the star of your dreams. Actually, let me tell something about this poem. It is, you can imagine the words a little bit trying to catch up with the, ABBA song, You Can Dance. So as I read it, if you can imagine or memorize the, remember the song, that means I've done my job. You can be, you can be, you can be the star of your dreams. Keep those dreams, draw them close, keep them churning all your thoughts. Don't speculate, don't estimate, catch them by their lingering pain in your heart. Nail them into holders of bookcase upright. You are those gleaming lights, sparkling with spirit and vibrance. You can let go all those bad feelings. They are gone, they are past. Show me one with no bitter past. Memories, sweet and loving. They are the thorns the rose thorns wear. They are the tender and delicate flowers. Smell those roses. Pause a while. You'll be making the beautiful path, because you are the star of your dreams. Reaching the sky only as your limit. Take it, girl. Take all that matters most. That's your sweet and shy, beautiful dream that wants to see you as your star. Celebrate, for you are the winner tonight. End poem.
Uma, those were amazing. Absolutely beautiful. You're such an impressive writer, honey.
Thank you, Nyla. It's all because whenever I see the page, you know, come and join your thoughts in the ink and all the beautiful words that the page that we have here on the Facebook, I get thoughts. So,
well, why don't you tell us real quick, honey, why did you start writing? When did you start writing in life?
Oh, well, I started writing my very first poem when I was in seventh grade in Telugu language. I had a moment to think whether should I write it in Telugu or English, and somehow I chose my language. Then, later on, I wanted to write it in English when I was in 10th grade or so, I think, and I read it out in a radio station called, it was for the youth program. And I wanted to hear in the bookcase and brickbats, I got a whole bunch of brickbats saying that the way I read it out was so, in fact, they used the word lousy for that, and then that I wouldn't be able to read anything, and whatever I was writing was nothing much worthier than trash or something. So that hurt me the most, and then I started sharing that pain that caused me in words for myself. Then as and how, well, after my marriage, I don't think I wrote a whole bunch of it, except once in a while on an occasion. Mm-hmm. But when I started listening to this program after, you know, when I found you on Facebook and I came back to hear the program, I recalled where I had been and what I had lost and where I have just forgotten my way. And you were showing me like a guiding light, the path where I should go. And I'm just walking, taking baby steps each day.
Well, we are so very happy, Uma, that you're a part of our family and that you're writing and that, you know, you found such a comfortable place here with us, that you've been able to embrace part of yourself more fully. And we're reaping the rewards from that. So it's awesome. And we're just very, very happy you're one of us here.
Thank you so much, Nyla. And I do have some books, like few of the anthologies that I have from Blurb Publications, from The Seasons, as well as other ones through The Voices of Strong. Poets of, you know, the Blurb Publications brings it out annually. And I have one book that I have completed. It's called Sunset Sail and On a Moonlit Night. And I'm trying to work towards another one, at least by the end of the year.
Very cool. Well, why don't you tell us how to find you, Uma?
Some of my poems are there online, like on poemhunters.com. And I do have a website which I have not really upgraded or updated much. But there are some poems in it. Best thing would be to listen to this program, because I will inevitably come here every time I have a new poem to present. So they can very much find me here at least once a month or whenever the time permits.
Awesome.
This is here where I am now.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing those with us. We appreciate you, honey.
Thank you, Nyla, and you all have a great day. I really enjoy listening to others' poems also, and have a good day. I look forward to hearing more of such.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, sweetheart. Bye-bye, hon.
Okay.
All right, Michael.
All right. Actually, can you unmute the next person?
Sure.
Which, as far as I know, is Keenan.
Ooh, okay. So, Keenan, are you with us?
Oh, well, that depends on how you define with you.
Hey, sweetie, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful.
I never get to talk to you outside of this anymore, you know?
You know, if you knew how many plates were spinning in my life, you would be amazed that I even have time to breathe.
Well, welcome to my world. Hey.
And my mother's right there along with you. I never talk to you.
Yeah, I know. I know that one too.
Yep. So how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. So since it is National Poetry Month, I'm wanting, you know, spending a little bit of time talking.
Yeah, I've been hearing about it. I've been hearing this, and I almost thought not calling because it's like, I don't want to.
She knew I'd ask you. So, but yeah, I would like to know when, because you're very much a Renaissance artist. You do a lot of different things, and you, you know, you aren't stuck in one mold, I guess. You know, is what I'm trying to say. But as far as your writing, your poetry, how did you get started doing that?
Oh, God, you're taking me away a long time back. The memory banks aren't what they used to be, you know. I don't know. In grade school, somebody else was talking about what they don't teach kids in grade school or in school, like grade school. They also don't teach kids anymore how to think critically or be creative. You know?
Yeah.
But grade school, they always encouraged us to write. I mean, there was always assignments that we had to do, but they always it seems like most of my teachers in grade school always encouraged us just write. Write me a paragraph about this. Write me a paragraph about that. Write me something, anything. And I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed creating things. From a really young age, I enjoyed creating things. As far as poetry goes, well, there was a long stretch where I was trying to write song lyrics, and then occasionally things would come out and I would write them down and there was no way they could be a song. And
That was very similar for me too. I had a like that.
Yeah. And I always enjoyed just trying to write short stories and such, and now I write screenplays, or I try to write screenplays, and occasionally a piece will come out that's not for screen, not for a short story, it's just a piece of prose. You know, they don't come out quite like they use as fast as they used to anymore, but that's okay. That's really about
awesome.
It.
You know, it's neat that, you know, I always say that, and there's workshops that I do called Writer's Blocks and Urban Legend. It's like the boogeyman. It can't hurt you if you don't believe in it. And one of the things that we talk about is how we are creative people, okay, and we follow our inspiration, but something happens when we start taking ourselves seriously, and it goes from being inspiration to work, like, okay, I have to sit down and write a poem because so-and-so wrote a poem and posted it on their blog, and I haven't written one in a while. I've got to get up there, and I've got to write a poem about this, and, you know, and all of a sudden we find ourselves creating something that it's not, I guess. I'm trying to figure out how to explain this, but so, you know, instead of listening to our muses, we start telling our muses what we want them to do based on what we think we should be doing as artists, okay?
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, part of that workshop I do is where I teach you how to stop trying to push your muse out the door when it's trying to guide you out a window. Okay.
Yeah.
And you do that, you know. So you just, and that's one of the things I admire so much about you, is you just start to create. And when you get done, then that's when you figure out what it is, you know.
Oh, I never try anymore to figure out exactly what it is. I mean, it is whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can always, you can always tell when something might be useful in a screenplay as opposed to when it there's no way. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's not to detract from anything else that I write. That's not to detract from the prose pieces that I write. It's just that they're not usable in a screenplay. Okay, well, let's see what else we can do with them. And speaking of muses, I really didn't think I was going to have anything to share tonight until somebody gave me an idea.
Ooh.
Are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay. Now, I must wonder, what is behind the closed door? Piles of papers with observations of life around us? Thoughts? Feelings? To land, to sea, three if by both? Are there images of knightly maidens fighting bellowing saints? Tall canvases with stout ships gliding across the ocean of deserts to see Emerald? I wonder what happens in there. Wrenching hearts of artichokes for the smacks of unknown pages? Perhaps a trip to the moon taken with the eye of a cannon, greeted by crowds of green fairies. No, that's not right. Group of beefcake to greet. Perhaps a dream or fantasy tingling the tips of her fingers. But I wonder, I must wonder, what happens in Nyla's office? That's it.
Keenan, that was awesome.
I thought you would like that.
I did. As soon as you started reading, it's like, oh, I know where that one came from.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. You just got me thinking. Don't you know how dangerous that can be?
Dangerous in a good way.
Yes, if you wish. Okay, I'm going to go. I'll listen to the rest of it just off my computer.
You going to tell everyone how to find you?
You use a divining rod. All right.
Well, you
hang
almost
on.
Water.
Hang on. You can find me, and I am going to put them into the chat room, but you can find some of my work at SouthCiceroMedia.com. And nowadays, you can also find me at Orca Broadcasting or Orca Radio. I am running my own radio, internet radio station, folks. I would love to have the Speakeasy Cafe on it, but we can't. I can do reruns for them if they want. But we can't, at the moment, we aren't set up to have people call in. You know? But I can do reruns for you if you would like me to.
That's
but,
kind of cool.
I'm also hoping, Nyla, Michael, poets, could try smelling coffee, right? I'm also would love to start up like a once a week, 1 hour show, let the poets send me their pre-recorded tracks if they want to, and I can put together like an hour long show just from their pre-recorded tracks.
That's pretty
cool. How does that sound? Okay. There's the link. It's Orca, like the whale, like the killer whale, Orca. ORCA.coffeecup.com is the main one. And if you want more information about the show, you can write me at ORCA078@gmail.com. Okay, which you can find on the main Orca site too. I mean, you can go to the Orca site and be able to get and get a good email message through to me. All right?
All right, sweetheart. Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the by, this will end up on your Facebook page probably tonight.
That works for me.
And I will get offline and let Noreen and Stormy do whatever it is they're planning on doing. Good night.
Okay. Thank you, honey. Bye. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. How are we doing, Michael?
We're doing pretty okay so far, actually. Okay. Yes, all right. 810 is Uma, right?
I don't remember.
I don't do the board. Yeah. All right, let me just check in real quick.
Better check.
810.
That's me.
Stormy.
Hey. Yes, hello.
There you go.
Hi, Stormy. How are you doing, honey?
Noreen in there.
Is Noreen here?
Not.
Yeah.
She's on hold, yeah.
Bring her on.
Oh, sure.
Noreen,
honey, you're on the air.
Okay. Hello, Michael. Hello, Nyla.
Hey, sweetheart.
Hello, Noreen.
Hello, Stormy.
We might knock him dead or we might get kicked out of here tonight.
Yes.
What are you two girls up to?
Well, she wrote a Blitz poem a while back ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it so much, I thought I wanted to try one. In fact, I put that example into a Poet's Worth Reading for an exercise this week. I did get a lot of good feedback off of it. Quite a few people are trying it. Not as collaboration.
Hey, Noreen,
like we,
Noreen, can you move your phone line? Because you're buzzing really bad, honey.
Oh, okay.
I think it may be too close to the computer or something.
Our phone is buzzing real bad. Is it okay now?
Sounds good to me.
Still a pretty good buzz.
Okay. Is the microphone off? Or... Okay. Maybe I have to. Okay. Okay. Is that better?
That's right where you're at right now. Stay right there.
Okay.
Okay. All right, go ahead, girl.
Okay. You want to go first?
Okay, Stormy. Okay. And I read mine whole one first, and you read yours, and we do the collab.
Well, I think it works better if you read your whole poem, and I read my whole poem, and then we read it as a collaboration.
Okay.
So that they
that
get,
sounds...
you know, the gist of the whole thing.
Okay. That sounds great to me. Okay. Do I start now?
Yeah.
Okay. Memories, only memories. Okay. Faded bygone days, faded memories, memories of lost youth, memories of lost America, America losing ground, America going downhill, downhill and uphill, downhill too fast, fast not slow, fast and easy, easy come, easy go, go and fetch, go and get lost, lost cause, lost in love, love me or not, love for our country. Country, our country, country full of surprises, surprises and mysteries, surprises of the past. Past of your life, past, present, and future, future memories, future of new life, life of me, life in USA, USA, only a memory, USA, land of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of you and I love you, I cherish. Cherish memories, cherish dreams, dreams of a better future, dreams to live, live a little, live one day at a time, time in a bottle, time stand still, still or move, still photos. Photos of long ago, photos of lost memories, memories of yesteryear, memories are gone, gone, yesteryear. the end.
Okay. You're supposed to read this real fast and beat. I'm not used to doing that, but I'm going to give it a...
Okay.
Past long... Oh, it's called Worry No More. Past long gone, past remember. Remember song, remember treasure. Treasure well spent. Been in pursuit, hell bent. Been on success, been folly, folly in excess. Really not sorry. Sorry is a transgress. Sorry is a worry. Worry at best. Worry with a bloody Mary. Mary loses my tongue. Mary has me dancing undone, dancing romancing. Romancing a stranger. Romance till dawn. Dawn a new danger. Dawn a reproachment. Reproachment for life. Reproachment for flight. Flight is night. Flight into the night. Night hides my sorrow. Night is my head. Head for better tomorrow. Head bids farewell. Farewell to waste. Farewell impudence. Imprudence and haste. Imprudence a personal expense. Expense my nemesis. Expense no object. Object now to exist. Object to prospect. Prospect a better life. Prospect for love. Love to ignite. Love to write of beauty found. Of lasting devotion. Devotion unbound. Devotion of harmonic motion. Motion unbound. End quote. Okay. We wrote this as a collaboration. My writing collaboration against her line, and they so that each one continues their line. So since you're first, Noreen, you take your first line.
Okay. Faded bygone days.
Past long gone.
Faded memories.
Past remembered.
Memories of lost youth.
Remembered songs.
Memories of lost America.
Remembered treasure.
America losing ground.
Treasure of youth.
America going downhill.
Treasure well spent.
Downhill and uphill.
Spent in pursuit.
Downhill too fast.
Spent hell bent.
Fast not slow.
Spent on success.
Fast and easy.
Spent folly.
Easy come.
Folly, yes.
Easy go.
Folly, not sorry.
Go and fetch.
Sorry is a transgress.
Go and get lost.
Sorry, a lost worry.
Lost cause.
Worry at best.
Lost in love.
Worry with a bloody Mary.
Love me or not.
Mary loosens my tongue.
Love for our country.
Mary has me dancing.
Country, our country.
Dancing undone.
Country full of surprises.
Dancing, romancing.
Surprises and mysteries.
Romance, stranger.
Surprises of the past.
Romancing till dawn.
Past of your life.
Dawn of a new danger.
Past, present, and future.
Dawn of reproachment.
Future memories.
Reproachment for life.
Future of new life.
Reproachment for flight.
Life of me.
Flight is night.
Life in USA.
Flight into the night.
USA only a memory.
Night hides my sorrow.
USA land of freedom.
Night clears my head.
Freedom of speech.
Heads better tomorrow.
Freedom of you and I.
Head bids farewell.
I love you.
Farewell to waste.
I cherish.
Farewell impudence.
Cherish memories.
Imprudence and haste.
Cherish dreams.
Imprudence at personal expense.
Dreams of a better future.
Expense my nemesis.
Dreams to live.
Expense no object.
Live a little.
Object now to exist.
Live one day at a time.
Object prospect.
Prospect. Time in a bottle. Oh.
Prospect a better life.
Time stand still.
Prospect love.
Steal or move.
Love to ignite.
Steal photo. Wait.
You're right of.
Okay. Photos of long ago.
Of beauty found.
Photos of lost memories.
Of lasting devotion.
Memories of yesteryear.
Devotion unbound.
Memories are gone.
Devotion of harmonic motion.
Gone.
Motion.
Yesteryear.
Unbound. that's the end.
I can't even. That was the end, right?
Yes.
No. It was, correct?
Yes,
no, that
yes,
was the
at
end.
The end.
Okay. So I can't even imagine how that is mind-boggling to me, how that fit together and how that worked with the cloud, being able, I mean, because that was just eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me how the process worked. Did you write the lines together? Did one write the first part and the other one insert the other lines to follow along?
No,
or did you write them
Noreen
together?
Wrote that poem almost a year ago.
That's right. You're saying that's the beginning.
Yes.
And last week, mm-hmm. I took her first line and I started it, and I didn't quit until I finished thinking of her last line and finished and went down, and it worked out that way.
You know, that would be phenomenal recorded together.
Wow.
That would be,
it did. It worked out. And I like the fact that it worked out so that there was reflection in there and humor in there, and
mm-hmm.
it worked out on the end with good feelings, with I don't know, it's sort of a little joy and romance, remorse at the same time mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
You
have no idea. I applaud you girls so much for doing that. And, you know, that's one of the cool things for me for doing this show as long as we've been doing it here together is to watch things like this happen, you know, where, you know, friendships are made, connections are made, inspiration happens, and things are born from that. You know, it is fascinating for me to see things like this happen and to be a part of this. And you guys just absolutely took my breath away with that piece. And just the whole thing, the whole concept of doing it, the way you executed it flawlessly, everything.
Wow. Thank you, Nyla.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Stormy. Maureen, both of you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. I enjoy
right.
doing that.
We enjoy
doing that with you, Stormy.
Well, let's get to somebody else because I see Crush Denise is ace to get to the bit.
Before you guys take off, tell us how we can find you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Gary got something too. Can he do?
Please.
Okay. Here he is. Okay. Wait. Okay. Plug that in first.
Yeah.
Okay, take that while I plug it in. Take off the mic.
Stormy, you want to tell us how to find you while she's getting Gary ready?
Okay. You can find me at Stormy Gail Dormeyer on Facebook. And you can also find me at Clarice Stormy Dormeyer on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find me on WordPress as Singing Clarice. And I don't really put anything else out there, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Stormy. You guys just nailed that. That was incredible.
Well, thank you very much. It was so much fun to do.
And we'll
how
talk
are you doing?
To you. All right, thank you. Gary, are you with us?
Memories that linger in my heart. Is it coming out over there? There you go.
Got it now.
Memories that member. Huh? Could you hear it?
We can hear you.
Well?
Gary, are you with us? Gary?
Right. Hello?
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
How you doing?
Try to get my microphone to work.
How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm okay. Noreen's having a fight with the computer over there. Trying to get it stuck in.
Well, we can hear you very well.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You hear that?
I can hear that. You have your guitar out.
You can hear the guitar?
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just hang on. I'm going to give you something.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how it came through, but there it is.
You know, what was really cool about that, Gary, is there was some static on the line, right?
Uh-huh.
And it made it sound like we were listening to old-time radio.
Oh, right.
And the song was perfect. I mean, it was that was such a treat. I'm sitting there laughing to myself saying, you know, I love my poets.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
Well, I looked at all of my poetry and I didn't like it, so I decided to play a song.
Well, that was a treat indeed, sweetheart. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let me give you back to Noreen here, hon.
All righty.
Okay?
All right.
Okay. Here, Noreen.
Hello, Nyla. I'm back.
Hi, Noreen.
Yeah, hello. Okay.
You going to tell us how to find you guys?
Yes. Okay. You can find Gary at poetrypoem.com, /GarySnyder with two R's in Gary. Then you can also find him on Facebook.com/GarySnyder. And you can also find him on wikinut.com under Gary Snyder. And you can, okay, and he's also Googleable and Googleable. Okay. And you can also find me on Facebook.com/NoreenAnnSnyder. And you can also find me on, ReverbNation.com/NoreenAnnSnyder. And you can also find me on wikinut.com under Noreen Ann Snyder. And I'm also Googleable and Googleable.
Yes, ma'am, you are. Thank you, Noreen. That was awesome.
Hey, you're welcome. Oh, and can I tell you about the contest I'm in?
Please.
Okay. I'm in running for indie soapbox. Spoken word poetry challenge, and the voting ends Monday, think 5 o'clock Eastern time, and there's 23 of us into it. Mm-hmm.
And what place are you currently in, Noreen?
I'm currently still in the 7th, and I had over 400, and so I have a long ways to go yet to get to number one. And you're supposed to be able to vote once a day. I don't know if anybody else having problems, but Stormy said they wouldn't let her vote again. And she did it after 24 hours. So I told her she needs to get in contact with them because it said you can vote every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does let you do that because I've been over there.
Uh-huh. Did they let you vote more than they didn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Oh, they did?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, you guys, so make sure that you go over and check that out. She has posted the link on my Facebook page. You can also find it on hers. And if you can throw mm-hmm. that into the chat room, that would be cool, Noreen.
Okay, I sure will. Okay.
All right, and good luck with that, all right? You guys, make sure you support her.
Okay, thank you, Nyla. Okay. Oh, and I want to thank one Sapien and Kenyon and Roy here for the beer. For sponsoring the show for the whole year, and I want to thank you, Nyla and Michael, for hosting this show for the whole year. I mean, for all times. Thank you all. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And thank
so much
you,
fun for us. I just wish you knew.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, all right, baby. Thank you so much, hon.
Okay, you're welcome. Happy Poetry Month.
Happy Poetry Month to you,
goodbye.
And talk to you next
month,
babe.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
thanks, bye. Alrighty. Who is our next caller, Michael?
Alright, so let's see here. Next up is area code 732. You're on the air.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, all right, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Dennis?
Yes, ma'am.
Good to have
I
you here,
I am
sir.
Doing, and it's good to have you say that, because, you know, being wanted is a good thing, I suppose, right? So, cool. And I am so, like, enjoying my, like, heat wave, because I'm sitting right now in, like, 72-degree weather. Yeah, you know how?
How?
Because I got my freaking heat on.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And I'm blasting it.
That's awesome.
Freaking Easter Bunny's coming on a sled this year. Wow. Wake up the other day to go to work and my car's iced over. Like, what the hell, man?
Great, come on.
Oh, man. So, anywho, yeah, life is wonderful. Yeah, I had the, what was it, the Poetry Slam. I came in like third, but, you know, it was cool. It was a fun time.
Yeah, we had Monica on earlier. She called into the show. It was Monica, right? Did I get the name right? No.
No.
What's her name?
Oh, you're talking. Oh, all right. Morgan.
Morgan,
yes,
Morgan. Why say Monica? I had the M. Yeah, Morgan. She was amazing. She was. She came on and read. That was pretty cool. She said that
Morgan
you sent her
Hunter,
over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, she didn't. Okay, cool. Yeah. No, what it was is like it was pretty intense, actually. Then the last contest we had, it was just like the two girls were facing each other off and whatever. I got booted out. It was cool. It was just fun to watch them go at it. But Morgan was like she was awesome at it because she was just like she can. Well, it's good that you can memorize stuff. I totally suck. I read off paper, so that's like a point off of me already. But she acts it out. She's like really into it and all that. But just, yeah, I don't know. I think the last one, she got nervous or whatever, but she couldn't follow through with the whole thing. But the rest of it, it was so awesome of a performance that she won anyway, so who cares? So I told her if she wants extra practice, like, call up here and do it. And you guys are so cool, so.
Yeah, we'll be helping any day of the week. She blew our socks off. Yeah.
But I had asked her to come down to the Green Planet Cafe, and we all read last night. Wednesday night. Last night we all I don't even know what day it is. I'm fried. I'm so tired. Last night we read. It was a late night too. But she wound up coming down and reading a few pieces. We all had a good time. It was cool. So,
that's important. It's important to fellowship, you know.
Oh, we built up a whole reading. It was like more musicians than anything at this place in Point Pleasant in New Jersey. It's Green Planet Cafe. But recently, this past year alone, we've gotten more readers. You know, it's like more and more. It's like, well, I think last night we had like 7 readers, and it used to be only like 1 or 2 readers. So everybody's slowly coming out of the woodworks. So
that's awesome.
Plus summertime's coming, and everyone is going to start having their gigs like outdoors. So the outdoor events are even more awesome. It's just so much bigger of a crowd. All right. If you don't mind, if I'm allowed, I have 2 pieces. One's a really short, angry piece because I just need to read it, get it out of my system. And the other one is something completely different. And, you know, just to give you guys a good, you know, idea how my versatile writing can go, if that's the correct word to say. Okay, on with the words. Let's get angry. Duplication through eyes. Oh, by the way, this piece is like useless words thrown together, and it just sounded so cool and angry, I just kept it. Okay. Duplication through eyes of remorse. Mourn as the archetype burns. Wingless art thou. Behead unity as the nameless removes mask, revealing its faceless pleasures of suffering. Ageless desecration, unifying as one, to bleed out what we've become. The enemy. End poem.
Awesome. And your next one?
On with the next one. Okay. Something a little personal about the heavy metal poet. Try not to get teary-eyed. It's more of a storyline, really, but I tried to make it poetic here. Okay. Once a week, my dad loved to go fishing. I didn't care for it as much, but I always went just to spend time with him. Favorite spots were either Deal or Sunset Lakes, but this time he changed it up a bit to surprise me. After buying bait from the live bait and tackle shop in Belmar right next to the famous Stumpy's Motorbikes, we headed to the ocean. I was only 8 at the time, and my mom was home nursing my new baby brother. So this time, it was just my dad and I, now fishing off the jetty in Asbury. It was the most beautiful, hot summer beach day with warm, dry winds mixing with salty ocean air. Not realizing what could happen next, did. One slip off a wet, green, slimy rock, a crashing wave came in, and in I went. My life really did flash by me in seconds as I panicked, screaming for help while gulping water and air at the same time. childhood fun, running around in my superhero underoos trying to save, or playing cops and robbers on my bike around the block, karate at the YMCA, bowling team, even getting second place at the Asbury Lanes. It was awesome at the time, the Cub Scouts, the Derby races, and the countless I love yous to mommy, and most of all, the idea of being an awesome older brother and saving my baby brother from harm was drowning. It was all drowning. I was crashing waves and undercurrent were fighting against the four men trying to pull me out as I was drifting away. All of this happened in a matter of minutes. But as an 8-year-old, it definitely scarred me for life. This story ends by me eventually being hoisted out to the safety in the arms of my father. But as I was in shock, shaking, shivering, he was simply just drying me off, saying to me in my ear, "Don't tell your mom. Well, let's go get ice cream." I never went fishing again. And boom.
Don't tell mommy, let's go get ice cream. You know, it's funny, something that, I mean, he could probably see you and knew that he was going to get you out. But for you, it was so traumatic. It's that was awesome.
But that's how it was. I was 8. I didn't know better. I slipped off the jetty rock, and we were like a quarter mile out into the ocean because, like, well, back then, the jetties in Asbury and the beach, they were like, they're historic, you know. It's like the 3rd mm-hmm. Avenue, the 4th Avenue. And they're just like, they're a historic part of the beach because not so many beaches around here have them anymore. And, like, today's time, they're all eroded. Some of them are washed away. There's gaps in them. Nobody goes out on them anymore. But back then, it was like a big thing to do. We didn't know better. My father was fishing. He loved ocean fishing. And me, I like to goof it off. You know, oh, look, a rock. Let me slip right off it. So, yeah, I learned my lesson. My son would be like, "Hey, Dad, you want to go?" Yeah, never. My older son now, it's like, "Hey, Dad, can we go fishing?" I'm like, "Hey, how about not?" You know, we'll go to the boardwalk because I'm a beach person. I am a beach bum, you know, killer boardwalk rides and, you know, all that stuff. And I just don't go in the water.
So funny.
I do own a pool, though. I got a 10-foot in-ground pool in my backyard. But at least I know I won't get carried away in a drift with that.
Yeah, that's the scariest part, not being under the water, but that not being able to control yourself underwater.
That's the whole thing with the undercurrent drifting you and stuff. And, you know, you're right. It's scarier when you're younger like that, but I just figured I'd write about it and be different.
It's scary anytime. All right, sweetheart, do me a favor and tell everyone how to find you.
Well, I'm definitely not that young kid hanging off a friggin' jetty rock anymore. But I am on the beach without pants. No, not really. It's still too cold out for that. Come get me on Facebook. Just on my Crush Beneath. Yes, what it is. Crush Beneath Poetry. Facebook / Crush. I mean, I'm still new at saying this. Facebook / Crushed Beneath Poetry. And if you wanted to email me, it's crushedbeneathpoetry14@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, but pretty much it's all linked up to my Facebook. So it's like whenever I type something or whatever, it goes through, you know, Twitter. I mean, it's Twitter, Crushed Beneath Poetry. Everything's Crushed Beneath Poetry. So it's like, you got Twitter, you got the Facebook, what else? I think that's it. I don't do any other things. Things get too confusing for me. But, come get me on Facebook. And I'm on here every week as long as you have me.
Awesome. Well, we love it when you call in, sweetheart. Thank you.
All right. They said on the thing, Superhero Under Ruse. You damn right, Superhero Under Ruse. Oh, it's Flash.
That sounds like a whole other thing altogether.
Yeah. Red shirt, yellow lightning bolt, and I had the underwears to do it. Oh, man, don't judge. caught on to that.
We all have our little childhood things. Mine was that my Barbie doll lost her virginity to the Tonto doll. You know, that was my big thing in the
wow.
childhood secret, yeah. I didn't do the end of Ruse, but, man, did she have a thing for Tonto.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, then, on that note, I will talk to you guys next week.
All right, sweetie. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you later.
That was scary, Walker.
All right. Bye-bye.
What was that, Michael?
You scared him off.
I did.
You did.
Oh, there is not a girl out there who did not have her Barbie doll lose her virginity to something. At least mine was awesome, Tonto.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't even know where to go from there. I think we are just kind of at a standstill. So, I know we're still having problems with the call line. I think we have Andy on, though. Isn't that Andy?
Yeah, you know, I think as of 11 seconds ago, yes.
Andy can verify
Andrew.
That. I've told her the story of my Barbie doll before.
What?
I said, you can verify that that's the truth, because I told you about my Barbie doll before. I still have that Tonto doll. He only has one leg, but I still have it.
You hear the whole...
You're cutting out, Andy.
Do you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm back.
Yay. So you're on a break from work. I'm going to let you just get right after it.
All right. This is part 7 of the 7 princes. This is Prince Lucifer, Pride. On the eve of the 36th moon, I was standing over the base of the tallest mountain. No one had ever walked over the peak, according to the 4 folk tales of our fathers. To complete the climb would be the walk to not only manhood, but centuries of old folklore legend. The direction taken was to the morning star, the perfect guide to my pinnacle. Step by step, I would reach what no other before me could. I was different from them all, and the lands would know my greatness. With each day and night of the steep climb, more and more birds of prey were circling, waiting for me to fall victim like all the other week, so they could pick my flesh for their hunger, like all the old dry bones I was passing, the unfortunate few who were not ready to be men. The vultures served their purpose for my hunger, so their existence was always a welcoming sight, and with the accuracy of my bow, I never went without, with each kill brought meat and blood for drink. This man they were following was the true hunter. Each day star and moon passing gave increased strength and determination. The passing of each carcass only proved that I would be the first, the immortal one that would reach. I was being transformed as I drew closer, feeling the burning inside. The new definition to my physique was now all-imposing, so swift that I felt I was flying. New wings guided this new, victorious pride. I let out an echoing trident scream. The lava at the peak was boiling, and not once had I let the heat derail me. This moment was all mine. A startled smile waved over me, and I looked out over all of it and felt it was all mine from this peak. Next week, the last part.
So that covers the 7 princes now.
Nah, there's one more.
There's one more prince?
Mm-hmm. Prince Satan, Wraith, or Wrath of the 7 deadly sins.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that you've taken all this time and read a different section each week. Is this taking you?
Yeah,
this will be like 2 months you've been spent reading the poem to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the end? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so, yeah, because there was 8 parts to it, and what was cool, and the reason that we were doing this is because it was published all 8 parts in once, and it's like, it's a long poem. So.
We're real proud of you getting it published, and that's really exciting, and we're really glad that you've shared it all with us. I'm going to let you run from here because I know that you've unlimited time here. So tell everyone how to find you, what you got going on Sunday.
you can find me on Facebook, Andrew Scott, or you can go to andrewandscott.com, or you can go to amazon.com, buy a book, Snake with a Flower, or you can hear me on Sunday nights, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, on Speakeasy Presents Reverse, where people call in, not with their own works, but works that have inspired them. And that's it. Gotta go.
The whole plug for it earlier.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
At least somebody was able to give it the time.
All righty, my dear. You get back to work. I'm really glad you found a break where you could get called in before the end of the show.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye, Andy.
Bye.
Okay. So, that was awesome. I'm really glad he got in. He'd called earlier, and I'd talked with him, and so I was hoping he would be able to make it on before the end of the show. So, did you want to pick another file?
Sure. I have the one that picked the last one I was going to play, ended up somebody called in, so I could just play that one.
Okay.
This is one of your personal favorites. This is Patrick S. with DSM-5.
Crazy in love? Crazy in love? No. No? Because people throw around the word crazy too lightly. It doesn't mean enough. And people throw around the word love too lightly. It means too many things. We are past crazy and in a love that needs its own specialized clinical term. We are psychotic for each other. We are paranoid about losing each other. We are schizophrenic about making each other happy. We are paranoid schizophrenic about not being there to make each other happy. We are narcissistic at our reflections in each other's eyes. We are obsessive when we're apart. We are compulsive to be together. We are obsessive compulsive whenever we think of each other every waking hour. We have Tourette's syndrome. I love you! We are codependent. That one might be literal. We are claustrophobic when walls come between us. We have road rage when roads come between us. We are sociopathic when society comes between us. We are arachnophobic when spiders come between us. We are herpetophobic when snakes come between us. We are coulrophobic when circus clowns come between us. We are homophobic when... No. Actually, we share the same agenda. We have numerous, highly specific paraphilias, such as your fingertips, my shoulders, the way you pronounce the letter P, and so on. We induce in each other acute psychogenic signs of distress, including cardiac arrhythmia, hypertension, tachycardia, apnea, asthma, panting, paresthesia, tics, rapid eye movement, inappropriate sexual arousal, appropriate sexual arousal, very appropriate sexual arousal, very appropriate, very important sexual arousal. Where was I? We have retrograde amnesia. We can't remember how we even lived before we met. We have anterograde amnesia. We can't remember why we feel so satisfied or where our pants are. We have false memory syndrome. We think and act like we've known each other all our lives. We have dyslexia. We keep seeing you and I together. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, Edition 4, is all the love poetry we'll ever need by other people. And as for our own, Tourette's, glossolalia, repetitive speech, indiscretion, somniloquy, repetitive speech, repetitive speech. Repetitive speech, but that doesn't mean we're crazy. Crazy is simply not the word. The word has not yet been written. So you and me, We are going to be a special supplement to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, Edition 5.
That was awesome. So, Michael.
Yeah.
We come to the end of another show.
We have indeed.
Pretty incredible day, huh?
Mm-hmm. I feel like the Muppets thing should be flying now.
You know, we had a lot of really cool things happen on the show tonight. We had a first-time caller come in that was, referred to as we had... Stormy and Noreen read that collaboration they did that was just mind-boggling. And it was a really, really interesting night and a fun night and a different night. You know, I was laughing and it was just amazing to be a part of, you know, and I hope that you guys realize what a treat it is for Michael and I to sit here every week and get to share this time with you and, you know, just watch it all come together like it does, you know. And especially, you know, we want to reiterate that during National Poetry Month, but it's the same every day of the year. You know, just an amazing community that you guys have built here, and the friendships and the inspiration that you share and the encouragement you give each other is very cool. You know, the rest of the world could take a lesson on the way that you guys are here. So I wanted to share that. Remind everybody to be sure to check out Reverse on Sunday. And Michael, did you have anything you wanted to add to?
No, just you guys are awesome and wonderful, and I guess that's it.
Very cool. Well, we talked about Apollo earlier when we played your track from him. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so I thought it'd be kind of cool to end the show with one of his tracks.
All right.
This one is called Rusty, which I absolutely love. It's a true story of a gentleman that he had an encounter with. And if you don't know who Apollo Poetry is, check him out. You can find them. That is his real name, Apollo Poetry. You can Google him. You'll find him everywhere. Traveling poet. You can find him that way as well. He was on one of the contestants on Glass House. And, you know, he would love to hear from you. So I am going to go ahead and play that track. And we will see you guys next week. I want to thank you so much for being here. Michael, you're awesome. Love ya. And good night, everybody. Say good night, Michael.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, you guys.
After they saw him approach a female, they nicknamed him Rusty. See, in high school, he was nothing more than a walking pinata. He would graduate with honors, but he never fought for his own honor. Some would blame it on the absence of his father. Others would say it was his mother's legs, because just like Rusty's mind, they were always open. You would think that someone like that would have no love left. There was no love felt just yet. But then the day came as if it was prophesied. I could have sworn that his eyes were a cigarette butt, the way that they lit up. Her real name was Fran, but he nicknamed her Fry, because just like the food, she was fast and he knew it wasn't good for him. But good old Rusty fell in love with Fry, but how could he stop the music while she's dancing with another guy? So they became just friends. Friends. His love for Fry ends. Friends. But if only he knew. That if only she knew. that for all those 365-day sessions of broken promises, he really loved her. Rusty spent years as a prisoner of half-painted walls, writing poetry hoping that it will guide him to that moment that he's been waiting for. But that moment turned into a day, turned into a year, turned into a lifetime. Rusty is now 70 years old, and as I'm sitting at this nursing home, I'm comparing my life to his. So I asked him, whatever happened to the woman that you loved? He just looked at me and said, drugs. Then he handed me a poem that was so deep that my eyes went into war, but my tears won. He said, tears, it's funny that the further they travel, the less that they become. See, she never knew that I loved her, but I knew that she loved me, and I asked him how. He said that that poem wasn't written by him. It was written by her, handed to him at her funeral. Then he looked at me and said, so if you love someone, you tell them now, because the end of your life can be now. So why are you still around? Go and change the world, because I never could. I just stood in front of the hourglass, watching the sand pour, covering my history, because I miss her so much. With a tear rolling down his eye, he said, just one touch, if only I had loved her, I could have saved her life. I could have saved her life. And then I grabbed his hand and he started trembling in fear, getting flashbacks of when he was my age and he had his whole life ahead of him. But what was ahead of him is now behind him. What he ran away from is now inside him. And together they're slowly dying. He said that his life was just a waste of life because he never saved a life. He wished he could have made it right. I told him what happened to her wasn't your fault. Being afraid is not a crime. And don't ever say you never saved a life, because after today, you just saved mine. After that conversation, 7 days passed, and then so did he, and they were back together at last. So now when I love with no fear. Now when I cry, I enjoy every tear, because if you don't, then why are you even here? Go and change the world, because I never could. Go and change the world, because I never could. Think about your life. Think about your decisions. Don't wait until you can look back at your life with no room to move forward. Today, you live for Rusty. Today, you live for love. Today, you live for yourself. Today, you live for the millions of people who died without their dreams coming true. But it's not too late for you. You're still alive. So go out there and grab it. And make a difference. Now let's listen to the voice of a beautiful woman who's no longer with us. As she sings to us from the other side, just close your eyes.